Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Welcome to another Shabbat. And it's great, I counted down all week to the Shabbat. Telling my kids on Tuesday night how many hours we had left. Then on Wednesday, I did the same thing. Same with Thursday. I woke them up Friday morning at 6 o'clock and I said, 12 more hours to Shabbat! They weren't real happy. That anyway.
So,
this week's Shabbat lesson is going to be from Tetzaveh. You shall command. It's Exodus 27 verses 20 through chapter 30 verse 10. And the Haftorah portion is 1 Samuel 15 verses 2 through 34. And the Apostolic Scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 1 verses 9 through 14. And just so you know, on the bulletin, we need to adjust it. It needs to read Exodus 27 instead of 20 that I put on there. So, the introduction. In this week's reading, we continue with the teaching God has given for the building of the tabernacle. All of its utensils, the priestly garments, and now the pure olive oil. The intricacy is amazing and shows us the importance God places on all of these items. Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. You shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually in the tent of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout their generations for the son of Israel. So we see this week starts out with the oil. Okay, and it's actually what is bringing the light to the tabernacle. It's what illuminates, okay, it feeds the flame to illuminate the tabernacle. And so it's a special point that we actually focus on this oil, okay? And so we start out by seeing what kind of oil. Well, we know it comes from olives, okay? We know it's been beaten or squished or somehow and the oil's come out. It's been filtered, so it has all the stems and you know, like they do with chili, hopefully around here, they take out all the stuff you don't want in it, and now it's just the oil itself, and it's from the first pressing. It's not from a second or subsequent one, so it's supposedly the good stuff that's burning. It's the good stuff that's there, but the word they use here is clean. They can also use the word pure in this sense, but the Hebrew word that's used in this verse is zak. Z-A-K, okay? And the definition of Zak means pure and clean, okay? And so on the surface, that sounds real good and simple, and we understand what clean is, right? You get all the dirt out of something, or you wash it up, or you just make it look right, okay? It's like when we come here, hopefully all the shower, put on good clothes, and so we look good when we come, right? So we can be clean when we come into the family of God. Okay, so we do that to ourselves, but it's the same thing we do with the oil. We make it ready to be burned. We make it pure. Okay, so the neat thing I like here is that the word zak is always in Scripture, always used in the moral sense. It deals with morality and moral issues. And that's what it's talking about, being pure and clean. Okay, it's not talking about washing off the dirt or the, you know, the stuff that you get on you when you work, things like that. It's about moral issues, and it's always used in morality. And I think that's a really neat understanding when you come to this oil, because it's burning in the tabernacle. Okay, and so it has to be a clean oil, of good moral status, like we should be when we want to enter in the tabernacle. Okay. We should have the idea, understanding of, I want to be better, I want to be moral, so to speak, when we enter in. And so I really enjoy that. Now, in the correct verb form, and this gets really interesting when you look at that, in the correct verb form in the Hebrew, zak could mean to make pure the course of life. Now, that's really neat when you sit there and look at it. Make pure the course of life. So as I'm looking at this and I bring this understanding into the oil, we're talking about burning, and we talk about the flame being within us, right? And letting His light shine and all these things that we talk about, right? And so we have this sense of burning and flame and light and oil burning within us. But it's really, it can make pure the course of life. And so I sit back and I go, wow, how does that happen? How do we make right the course of life? How do we make it pure? How do we make it clean? And it's really simple. It's humans that make a mess out of it all. It's basically follow Torah. Not make up your own, not follow somebody else's, but do what God says. It's that simple. And not just sometimes, but as often as you can. Now, we all fall short. I get that. All right. But we try. Okay? It says up here, I'm a work in progress, right? We all are a work in progress. We're all trying. We're all growing. And we're all moving, trying to be closer to God. And so I think that's really a neat thing, to make pure the course of life. But remember that Zak can also be part of Zadik, which means righteousness or righteous. Okay? And so in the same understanding of righteousness, making pure your course of life, it's just walking in Torah. It's just that understanding. Okay? And if we went to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, it says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Okay? Do you see here it says practice righteousness? Okay? It's a practice. You're practicing it. You're doing it. You're working through it. You're coming up with maybe better ways of doing something. You start at the very basic things. You add things to it. You change things up. It wasn't working for you this way, so we change it a little bit different. And we just and so our life gets more solidified as we practice it. Okay? Oftentimes we don't get it right, and that's another form of practice. Being part of a team, I can remember we had a certain play, and we just could not get it right. And the coaches made us run it 60 times in a row. The same play. With the same the same offense coming at us. They knew what we were doing. You know, we knew all of it. We had to do it 60 times in a row without a break. The same play. That's kind of boring. Okay? But we were practicing until we got it right. And so we just practice. And that's what we have to do with the Torah. We practice it. We don't set it aside. We don't not do it. We practice it. And we learn from other people, we see what they do, and pretty soon we can find a way to follow Torah that actually brings life to us and to life to those around us. And it really makes clean your path of life. And so as you understand as we're going through, that's what we're talking about. Okay? But it's amazing that we can make mistakes and still be okay. We can still be loved. We can still be accepted. We can still be part of God. We make mistakes. He knows that. We know that. Okay? And He's chosen us and called us His own. And so in that, He knows that we're going to make mistakes, but He asks us to try. Yeah, He says, come to me. Walk towards me. You know? Seek me. I've given you my instructions. Follow them. Do them. Let's meet together on Shabbat. Let's do the things of God. Join my feast days. You know, just be a part of me. Learn who I am. Get to know me. And this is what God is asking us to do by following His Torah. Now, in most cases, the Jews have been taught from very young ages that they are to leave the world a better place than the way they found it. That means they're supposed to do acts of kindness, which they consider Torah. They have mitzvahs, things like that that they do. But they want to leave the world a better place. Okay? Now, not all of them do it. Okay, not all of them follow it. It's mostly in the religious circles that they have that understanding of making the world a better place. Okay, there are so many different sects or parts of Judaism that it would take hours to kind of explain them all. And they all have different beliefs. And I'm not talking just the Reformed or the Conservative or the Orthodox. There are so many others out there that are so different from what you would think of a Jewish understanding of Torah would be that it's like, wow. How can you be considered Jewish? There's even Jewish atheists. Okay, there's a group that believes that. How can that be? Aren't they kind of two different opposite words? Okay, but they put it, bring them together, and that's their belief system. Okay, but we're all practicing. Okay, or in some cases not practicing. to leave the world a better place. Okay, but God has given us a way of doing things. Now, let's take a look at Israel itself, the land of Israel, the people of Israel, the government of Israel for a second here. Okay, what are they doing in their lives over there? What are they focusing on? Well, they want peace. Okay, they don't want the rockets being shot over the borders and landing amongst their people. They don't want invasions of armies coming up. They don't want this pressure. And so they're trying to do everything they can to avoid war. They want peace. And so what do? Oh, I'm going to give you this section of land. Oh, I'm going to give you this section of land. Oh, we're going to let you do what you want to do. And we'll have this meeting. We know nothing will come of it, but we'll have it anyway, because if we don't go, we're going to look bad, and we want peace. All right? Everything they do is they want peace. Now, they want really Jerusalem as their capital. Even though it's not, it's Tel Aviv. But they want to have Jerusalem as their capital, but they don't. Because they know if they do that, there's going to be problems. Other countries around there are going to have problems. They're going to come after them. They're going to say something. They're going to hold it against Israel because, no, that's not theirs. Okay? They shouldn't have Jerusalem as their capital. And yet, they're saying, okay, well, we won't do it. We'll leave it here. And they've gotten so brash even to tell people like our president, don't put your embassy there. We don't want it there because that's going to cause problems and it's going to make it look like we're trying to build this up as our capital. We don't want that. We don't want all these nations to come after us. And so they give up their desires. They give up the right ruling. They give up the stuff that God tells them to do for peace. Now, this is a violation of Torah, and we know that. But think about it. Israel has done that since the beginning of time. Okay? You look at the book of Judges. It goes up, it goes down. They start doing well and things are good. They turn around and they walk away from God, and then they're pretty soon crying out, oh, help us. Help us. We need a deliverer. So then God sends them a judge, and they get delivered, and they're all happy, and things are good, and guess what happens? They turn right away, and they go back, and pretty soon they need another one. Okay? It hasn't changed throughout history. It has not changed. But they're just a microcosm of what's happening in the rest of the world. What's going on in Israel is happening in the rest of the world. Okay, what's happening in Israel, it happens even amongst us here today. And it's amazing that it's such a picture that we can look at and say, wow, do we do that? Do we walk away and then all of a sudden, oh, I need some help, I need some help? Of course we do. Okay, we get ourselves into predicaments we don't want. We're like, how do we get here? Man, I don't realize that. I don't remember even going that way. Right? But now I need help. I guess that's just me. I don't know about you guys, but I guess that's just me. but I sit there, I cry out a lot, right? So I'm like, oh, help me. I need some help. Okay? But yet, even amongst that, if we're still looking at Israel here, do you know God prospers the work of the hands of the Israelites in all they do? It is absolutely amazing what they are able to come up with. Well, why do I say that? They are leaders in the pharmaceutical world. Okay? Leaders. Okay? Their technology and their ability to bring it up is second only to the United States. Okay? Furthermore, they have more Nobel Peace Prize winners than any other country. Okay? And look how small it is. Okay? They're leaders in water conservation. I think you'd have to be in the desert. But they are leaders, and they have some great things that they're doing now that they just use minute amounts of water and grow great things. And we're not even talking about taking the salt out of the water. They grow plants that aren't supposed to have salt in the salt water, and they still grow. This is how good they're getting with water conservation. It's amazing what they're coming up with over there. So God prospers their hand, even though they're not following Torah. Even though they don't follow Torah. And it's amazing. And look what they're going through. Look at all the countries around them that want to destroy them. Just to the north is Iran. Boy, how much do they want them off the face of the earth? Okay? How about ISIS? How about Hamas? How about the Palestinians? I mean, you start naming them, look, they're all around them. And yet they're still able to overcome and do such great things. Okay. When we get into that, are we the same way? Are we able to rise up and do great things as individuals or as a family or as a synagogue when things around us get just terrible and people are coming against us? Or do we back down? Do we give up? Do we want peace and compromise? Well, I hope we don't, but you know, sometimes we do. And sometimes we do that in the name of peace. Oh, it's okay. You know, I'll let that one go, or I'll, you know, we just won't argue about this, you know. We'll agree to disagree. I love that one. You know me, I like to argue. So let's just keep going, right? But, yeah, again, that's not you guys. But anyway, they're doing really well, okay? But here's the thing also. I have seen strong men spiritually fall. And I'm like, you fell to that? Why? I thought you were strong. I thought you could handle the situation. I thought you were in the spirit and with God. Why would you fall to something so small? But oftentimes we do. And that's what we see taking place with Israel. I've also seen people that are not very strong in the spirit or in the word of God or being able to quote scripture do some miraculous things with their strength and their ability spiritually. Okay? I've seen just amazing things amongst people. And if we could look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." I've seen that. And it's those little things, like I just said, that brings down a strong person. Okay? And yet you see a weak person can handle so much in their lives. And you're like, how is that? How can that person be so strong? Okay. Now, I've also seen children, when I was growing up, mostly I haven't seen it for several years now, but when I was growing up, I dealt with a lot of individuals that were in wheelchairs, that couldn't talk, had many different issues with them. And sometimes a person would walk up and they'd smile and they would laugh and they would feel really good, and then another person would get close to them and they'd start screaming. They would start screaming, an uncontrollable screaming. And that was their only way of communication. And I realized as I was watching this, they can sense people's spirit better than we can. They understand if a nice spirit's coming up with them. That's why they can smile, and that's why they can laugh and enjoy the person. They can also tell when a person doesn't have a good spirit, and that's why they're screaming and they're crying. And we think it's them, but it's us. Okay? They're trying to point out us. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we place judgment on that person, but it's us that needs to have that judgment. And so it's right. We have to look at it. But if you look at Israel, how strong is Israel as a whole? They're very strong. It's because most all their people have to be in the army. Right? They don't get out of it. Oh, you know, except for the ultra-Orthodox. You know, somehow they've gotten a rule that they don't have to work. And they don't have to be part of the service. But everybody else does. Right? But they are supposedly, and from what I've read, the third best nation as far as arming themselves and with technology to be able to defend themselves. They are the third best country in the world, but they're so small. If you think about their manpower army compared to, say, Russia or China or India even, okay, it would be minute compared to those countries, okay? So you see all these things, you put Russia in there, you bring China in there, you bring India in there, Egypt, you bring Turkey. How many people can they come against Israel? And are there enough people in Israel? If you look at numbers, you have to say no. But if you look at God, of course, it's easy. Look at the 7-day war that took place. Against all odds, Israel just pushed them back and it was done, it was over with. I mean, they wiped them out in 7 days. It was amazing. Okay? But that was God working for them. But too often, they don't remember that God's on their side. They think he's left, or they think he's not listening, or they think he's not there. And they're just, they're calling for him, but he's not present. He's not helping them because look at the way they're, the situation they find themselves in. They are really a small country. But why everybody's interested in them. The whole world looks upon Israel. And that's amazing. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, verses 13 and 14, and 22 through 23 says, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you, O Lord, I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Man, that is harsh. How would you like to have somebody come up to you and say, the Lord has rejected you? I mean, we wouldn't like that at all. I mean, I'd be very mad. And if it was true, right? I'd be mad if that was the case. And here's Samuel, a prophet. Everybody knows who Samuel is back then. And he's telling Saul this. That also took some guts. Right? I mean, the position that Saul was in, that took a lot of guts for Samuel to come up and say that to him. Okay, but he did it anyway. But what I find is that Samuel was distressed and he cried out to the Lord all night. Have we cried out to the Lord for somebody all night? Have we been so upset that we can't sleep, that we can't eat, you know, and we have to sit there and cry and pray and ask for help and everything that we can possibly do in the quiet of our own homes at night with nothing, no TV on, right? You're crying out to the Lord because that you're hurting so much. Well, Samuel did that. Okay, for Saul. And that's amazing, because Saul was wrong in what he did. And Samuel knew it. I believe Saul even knew it. He was trying to make excuses for not following through with what God said. Oh, we were saving the animals so that we could, you know, sacrifice them to you, Lord. I mean, it sounds good, but God said to kill them all. He wasn't following the instructions of the Lord. And too often we don't follow the instructions of the Lord and we make excuses or justifications why we didn't. And we can even make it sound really good. Oh, well, I had this or I had that. Right? We sound righteous too when we do that. That's even better. I like that one personally. You sound really smart, really righteous. You know, I'm religious. No? Oh, wow. I must be the only one. So, we see this as taking place, but is that going on today? Okay. It is on small things. We'll pray for one person. We'll pray for that person. Okay. But let's look at America for a second. Okay. Now, America is falling apart in my eyes when I see what's going on. Okay. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. Okay. But it's a mess. Okay. Whether you voted for Trump or Clinton, it doesn't matter to me. Okay, I just want to look at these two sides for a second. Okay, you have people out there right now that are blocking traffic on purpose, and it happened here in Las Cruces, okay, because Trump got elected. Okay, just because he got elected. Okay, you have the same people that are now firing teachers because they voted for Trump. Okay, you have people being fired because they voted for Trump. You have all these things taking place out there from one side because they don't like the outcome of the election. Okay? And it was a popular vote, right? But that's what's going on. You have all these different things happening. But let's say the roles were reversed. Okay? And Clinton had won the vote. If the Trump supporters did the same thing that was that's taking place out there, they would be labeled rebels. Okay? They would be criminals. They would be... what you place all these negative words on them, and that's a big problem. But it's okay for the Clinton supporters to be doing what they're doing. Can you see how we're falling? And we're falling? Because that's not the right way we're supposed to handle it. We're supposed to be a Christian country, and I laugh at that anymore. We're supposed to be brought up on Christian values. Our judge, you know, our judicial system is supposed to be based off of the Bible and Scripture. And you have all these things that are coming back, but look at our country. Look at it. It is not. And I say it's not because we go into Hebrews, and it's Hebrews 13:17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So here we're told in Scripture to obey our leaders. And we're a Christian nation, right? Well, if you take all the Christians and Catholics in this country, how many of them are doing these things, standing in the streets, blocking traffic on purpose, purposely getting hit and then saying, "Oh, I'm going to sue you for hitting me, and now you're going to jail because you hit me with a car," and all this, right? Because they don't want to follow this leader. You have people that saying, "I'm not doing a thing that Trump's going to order. I'm not going to do whatever he says." "But you're a Christian?" "Well, yes, I'm a Christian." "Well, then why don't you do what the Bible says?" They're not even doing that. Okay? So I'm saying as a whole, as a body, we are falling apart. And I'm using this as a point because these people, the Christians, the Catholics, I'm not trying to pick on them, but they're New Testament. It's all about New Testament issues. Okay? So I use a New Testament issue, and they don't follow it. So are we going to be the same way when it comes to these choices we make? Okay? Are we going to start staying up at night and doing something about what's going on, whether it's in prayer, whether it's writing letters to the editor? I don't know what it's going to take, but are we going to start voicing what's going on? Or are we going to let it happen? Now, these are questions we have to ask because, you know, God's in control. He has it all planned. So if you don't know God's plan, you might be fighting against God. Maybe he wants it to collapse. Maybe he wants it to fall down. Okay? But are we ready for that? Maybe he doesn't. But what do we know? We're not God. Right? See, we have to be sure with our direction when he tells us what we need to do. But we need to be firm in that. Here's another thing we like to do. We like to start, right? I'm going to fill out this paperwork and I'm going to get it turned in because I'm going to fight whatever's going on. And I never send it in. Or I send it in and I start it, but there's no follow-up. There's no, "I'm not going to talk to this person. I'm not going to talk to that person," because our fire burns out. We're not upset anymore. Or maybe somebody has talked to us and we changed our minds. Or maybe we're just tired. Too much is going on. Life has gotten us. I'm just not going to fight anymore. All right? These kind of things happen too. And it's happening today. And what are we doing? Okay? And it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening around the world. Okay? Oh, yes, look as far as Syria. What's happening there? Oh, my gosh. You know, what's going on there? All right, there's people fighting against one another. There's mass confusion. It's happening. Shiites are fighting the Sunnis. You have mass confusion. All right. And so we have to look at what's going on as a whole because we need to know and be ready. Okay? Do you think America's immune to these kind of things? We're very fortunate right now to be where we are. Because a lot of these things could be happening here. You know, how far are we from the Mexican border? You look at Israel, and they're getting rockets shot over their border, right? What would happen if people started shooting rockets over this border? Okay? I mean, we got to think about these things, right? What if another country says, "Your capital can't be in Washington, D.C.? You've got to put it somewhere else. That's our place." What are we going to do as a nation? Laugh at them? right? But Israel can't. If people were shooting rockets over this border here, I guarantee you America would shoot them back. But Israel can't. There's a double standard going around, all around this world. Okay? And we have to look at what's going on, and we have to understand. Okay? Not only wars and rumors of wars going on, but the new thing, have you guys heard about transgender? Okay? Boy, is that a buzzword now, right? I mean, that is the cool thing to be, that is the cool thing to talk about, right? It's no longer homosexuality. That's old hat. Okay? This is the new thing coming out. And they're saying God is wrong. God, well, yes, I was born a man, but God made a mistake. I'm supposed to be a woman. Really? God makes mistakes now, huh? Are we kidding one another? And these people go to church. All right? They some of them even go to synagogues. Okay? And what are they hearing when they're there? How did this confusion take place? I mean, my family, we turned on a movie last night. All know it well, The Da Vinci Code. Okay? And so we started pointing out all the errors that are biblical errors that are in that movie. And I used it as a training, as a lesson type of thing. And so I was talking to them. But again, they're making Yeshua not divine. Right? Oh, he's not God. He can't be God. Right? He was a good man. Oh, he was a prophet. He said lots of neat things. Right? But he's not the Son of God. Well, this thing is just going on. It's how can we lessen God? How can we take him out of the picture? We're making ourselves, I'm talking as a whole, we're making ourselves God instead of giving God his place. Okay? Because now God makes mistakes. Yeshua isn't God. All these things are taking place. You know? So are we weeping? Are our souls hurting? Are we worried about what's going on? Are we praying and saying, Lord, we need help? We need it now? You know, are we ready to do that? I sure hope so, because America's about to get judged if it hasn't been already. Okay? It's beginning to happen. All right? And we better watch out. Don't be surprised when it happens. Oh, why is this happening? Are we willing to tell people? Well, it's because you didn't obey God, like Samuel said? Or is it going to be, oh, it's okay, God loves you where you're at. Why can't we just get along, right? Be ready. Be ready to speak the truth, in season and out of season. Be ready to stand strong for your beliefs and give a testimony as to why you do what you do. You're going to have to give that. And you can't just say, I do it because Paul says, or Rabbi says, or some other teacher on the internet says. Okay? You have to be able to hold up your scriptures and say, I do it because, and point right to the scripture, because that's your foundation. That's where you get your truth from. And then it's not you that people will go up against, it's scripture and God that they'll go up against at that point. Okay? So we have to be able to do that. And it's important that we do that. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Now that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Boy, how many teachers out there do exactly that? Okay. A lot. A lot of teachers do that. Not just in Christianity, not just in Catholicism, but they do it in Judaism, they do it in Islam, they do it in Buddhism. It's all, whatever the people want to hear is pretty much the message that they're getting. And that's why they stay leaders. And that's why they have huge followings and all those things, because they're telling the people what they want to hear. But there's no sound teaching to it. It's, do what I say, and I say this scripture means that. I mean, I've talked to several imams about Islam and different things that take place. And I bring up one of their verses that says, you can be friends with people of the book, which means the Bible, So whether you're Christian or Jewish, you're part of that. You fall in that group of people of the book. And then there's a comma, and it says, "But if they don't convert, kill them." The very next half of the verse says that. Okay, and I sit there and I ask him. I go, "That's kind of contrary, isn't it? You can be friends with me, but if I don't convert, you got to kill me." "Oh, Paul, that's not what it means." Are you kidding me? Well, I've talked to 3 different imams, and they all gave me 3 different excuses why it doesn't mean that way. It was their own opinion. They were teaching their own opinion, not what it said. And we're getting there, and it's all over. You know, I'm not going to point out different teachers that I could all day long that just give a tickling message and something that's neat and cool. Oh, this is the new in thing, right? All right, the for profits, you know, the money people, not the actual, right? All right, but we know they're there, okay? It just comes down to this. Isaiah 49:6 says, he says, "Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." That's Isaiah 49:6. Okay? Now, God has commanded Israel to teach the poor to the world, to the nations. And they fail to do that. Okay? Some of them do it. Okay? But they have failed. Are we failing? Because here, we teach Torah. And we teach Messiah with that Torah. So you have both spirit and truth. Are we failing? Are we failing to do the same thing? I sure hope not. Now, Ephesians 1, 9-14, it says, "He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Messiah, things in the heaven and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Messiah would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." Now, I'm not going to get into predestination, Rabbi. So, okay. But we are adopted into Israel through Yeshua. We are part of Israel now, because of our faith with him. We are chosen unto good deeds. Okay? Now, a lot of people teach that it's the Holy Spirit is the inheritance. That's not correct. Okay? He's the down payment of something more to come. But our inheritance, believe it or not, is the Torah. Okay? That is our inheritance. So are we willing to give up the inheritance? Would you give up inheritance passed down from your parents to you? I doubt it. Why would we do the same thing with God? Give up the Torah? We would be crazy to do so. Okay? Now, this Holy Spirit causes us to walk in that inheritance. It gives us the ability, it gives us the understanding, and it leads us to do so. And so that's really neat. And then remember, Zak can mean to make pure the course of life. Following Torah does that. So it's through the Holy Spirit and walking in Torah that brings it. Remember, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's John 4:24. Remember, you got to have Torah, you got to have Messiah. That's the way you worship in truth. Can't be any other way. It's not, you got to have Messiah and the doctrine of Paul. Okay, that doesn't work. Alright? It's the Messiah and Torah. So let us provoke Israel to jealousy, everybody. Let's worship in spirit and truth. Let's teach Messiah. Let's be Messiah-like. Let's show them that we are sons and daughters of God. Okay? That we have been chosen out of all the nations to bring His light. So, behold, how good and pleasant is it for brothers to dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. That Holy Spirit, the oil, the Torah, just coming down on the beard. The unity that takes place when we all follow Torah. How beautiful that will be. So, and I will end with this. Torah Man Jr. says, if some men would lose their self-conceit, there wouldn't be much left of them. Shabbat Shalom. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Son Yeshua. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to give us the understanding of what you want from us. Help us be strong in times of trouble. Help us know what you want from us and how to be on your side and not fight against you. Father, let your Spirit pour over us like oil so that your light can burn strongly to all those around us. So we can proclaim your goodness, we can proclaim your teaching, and be a light to the nations. Through Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.